Like most famous musicals in the history of theater in this country of America, The Sound of Music is loaded with lines that perhaps stay with one who watches the musical or watches the original movie. And most of these lines, to nobody's surprise, comes from the mouth of Maria. Most of us, if not all of us, are very familiar with the musical. Maria is this woman who leaves the convent to become a nanny, more or less, for a captain general of the Austrian army, Captain von Trapp. And Maria, as she's trying to get used to the way Captain parents, although Captain knows that he needs Maria, walks in. We remember the famous scene, and Maria has dressed the kids, or the kids are dressed in their sort of captain garb, looking very dignified and sophisticated. And Maria takes them for a little bit of fun, and they get dirty. And Captain blows his top because he has anger issues. And Maria says this great line to Captain. She says, "These children cannot do what they're supposed to do if they're constantly worrying about ruining their precious clothes." In other words, Maria is trying to teach Captain that these kids have been raised so fast, they're on the fast track to maturity and sophistication, that they're kind of left their childhood behind. And they were just playing, and certainly they ruined clothes, but they're only clothes. And they were doing what kids are supposed to be doing. Remember, the oldest von Trapp child was just a teenager. And Maria was pulling this out of them, and that it's okay to act like children, not make bad decisions, but be who you are, be your age. And that was a breaking point for Captain, if you remember the script. In today's world, we might think that the Catholic Church is Captain. That what the Captain does throughout The Sound of Music is sort of abruptly and abrasively tells his children how they are to be raised and who they're supposed to be. And the Captain is wrong in a lot of ways. He's a good man. He's a man of dignity, certainly. And throughout it, we see his character rising, right, until the end. That's the beautiful romantic side of The Sound of Music. But in the beginning and through the halfway point of the musical, of the script line, he's misplaced in a lot of ways. But the church is not Captain. The church is much more like Maria. The church has never been referred to as our Father. In fact, from the earliest times, the Catholic Church has always been referred to as our Mother, because she's gentle and caring. And many would say, perhaps, in this time and day, it's the government that's much more like Captain. But the government, and perhaps her arm or his arm, the social media and the general press, comes off as if the church is the one that has misplaced desires in people's lives. See, what you see in The Sound of Music is these kids who are trying to be who they are, and they make decisions depending on who they're going to listen to, each other, Maria, or Captain. And throughout the whole movie, right, or throughout the whole musical, sometimes they make good ones and sometimes they make poor ones. And Maria, compared to Captain, sort of comes off as lackadaisical or not strong enough or not strict enough. But we know that between her and particularly the teenage kids, she comes off very hard and very black and white. And they respect that in Maria. Because what Maria is teaching to the kids is true. It's true. And the kids, when they understand the truth of who they're supposed to be in the place of underneath the umbrella of their father's prestige and fame, when they understand who they're supposed to be in front of God the Father, life gets a lot better for them. You'll notice throughout the whole movie that the kids get happier and happier, and authentically happy. Not just emotionally, but deep down, this happiness, this joy wells up in these kids because they believe and they begin to believe in and live who they're supposed to be. And that's the message of today's gospel. It's the message of this month in the Catholic Church all around this country. The month of October is dedicated to respect life, and certainly it makes sense that a priest would give a nice, fine homily on abortion. But we'd be wrong to reduce respect life to abortion. Yes, certainly somewhere in the world today, in this country, in the cities of Minneapolis and St. Louis and Chicago and Austin, there is a young woman who, because of a bad mistake a month ago, right now is sitting in an abortion clinic thinking, do I do this or not? Do I do what I'm supposed to do and do what God would want me to do and bring this child up? Or do I take the advice of the latest headline I read in the paper? Take the advice of the wrong-willed doctor who just spoke to me, or the nurse who has an agenda? Yes, right now, perhaps in this city, certainly in this country, there's a young couple who, after two children, really can't have a third because they can't afford it. But they know the truth, that the church's teaching on contraception is true. And if I contracept, they're thinking, this is not what the church wants me to do, this is not what God wants me to do. And if I contracept, I'm not being who I'm supposed to be, who God made me to be, to freely love, because contraception is not free love, it's you purchase the love, because it lets loose for lust in a marriage. And so that couple is thinking about that right now. And somewhere in the state of Oregon where it's legal, there's a group of older adult children in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and they're weeping and they're crying because they know their mother, who is 97, is on her last leg. But the expert, the physician in the room, said, we can give her this, and over the course of the next few weeks, she'll die slowly, she'll die without pain, and she'll be in a better place. But those kids who know better say, that's not easy death, that's euthanasia. That's physician-assisted suicide. So respect life is much more than just abortion. And most of us are familiar with that the list is rather long with regard to the church's teachings that sometimes come off as intrusion or overly personal or abrupt or abrasive, because they are sensitive. They deal with the most beautiful thing in the world, life. But the church teaches these things because she wants love from that life. So whether we think of abortion or in vitro fertilization at the beginning of life, when you think of contraception, when you think of postponing a pregnancy rightly or wrongly, when we think of a physician-assisted suicide or euthanasia, we know the teachings. Perhaps we don't understand all of them. But we know that because they come from the mouth of our mother, they are true. And the church teaches with psychology, philosophy, ethics, morality, she can provide the grain that teaches all of us that these things are true. It's not the latest opinion of the Pope or of a good priest. What the church teaches on human life and how sacred it is and how we're supposed to bring it into the world and how we're supposed to say goodbye to it at the end of one's life. The church's teachings are true, and so were Maria's. The greatest irony, perhaps, a social commentator would once said, who was Catholic and devout, said, it's so interesting that since 1965 until 2015, the general population of Catholics are so eager to remove God and the church from their bedroom, but they'll share a pillow with the federal government. Why is that? Why is it when we wake up in the morning, we hear the latest scandal from some about-to-be governor in the state of North Dakota, and we're flooded with that every morning, rather than a headline of, life is beautiful, protect it and pray for it? Why can't we read that in the press? Probably because Captain Von Trapp and his voices and his rulings are getting into our hearts and heads rather than the voice and teachings of Maria. And surely, it's not easy. And in the Sound of Music, we see this. in the middle of the musical, in the middle of the movie, we see the great battle that goes on between Maria and between those kids. They begin to see that, man, she's teaching us things that I really don't like, but they're right, they're true, and they're going to make me better as a person. They're going to make me happier. And that's exactly why the church teaches what she teaches on human life. Yes, because it's true. Yes, because she wants all of us to enter into heaven. But the great irony of this flip-flop, removing God and the church from one's marriage and the bedroom, and inviting the federal government in to share a pillow. The great irony of that is nobody's happier. Depression's at an all-time high. And we've never been in the most secular America as we have now. Not just a coincidence, I don't think. So as we pray for the grace this month, yes, to defend a child's right to life, let's also pray for the grace to know the teachings of the church and to live them. Just like the kids in The Sound of Music, as they listened to their father in the beginning of that movie and the beginning of that script, they were kind of depressed and mad and angry. But as they began to listen to Maria throughout the whole movie, they got happier and happier. That's all the church wants from us, is for us to follow the truth and to live the truth. And that indeed will make us happier and happier.